Welcome back to Suburban Black Girl, episode 42. So today's episode, we're going to be talking about she's not stuck up, she's just selective.
Ooh.
Yes. So we're just going to be talking about some of the mislabels that Black women get when it comes to us being reserved, confident, setting boundaries with other people. You know, when people call us bougie or mean or unapproachable, all those negative stereotypes and labels that society puts on Black women. So this episode, we're just going to be embracing discernment, stillness, and peace without guilt. So with that being said, let's get into it. Have you ever been called stuck up, bougie, or mean just for being quiet or reserved?
Obviously. Yes. But I think, I guess, a couple of those things for different reasons. Like, I think I've been called bougie just for the things that I like to do or the things that I wear or my preferences on certain things, preferences on what kind of hotel I want to stay at or what kind of food I want to eat. And then I don't think anyone's actually ever called me mean like that, but the assumption has definitely been that people thought initially, first impression or whatever, first assumption, I'll say, is that I was going to be mean or stuck up.
I definitely have gotten the bougie label for sure. Mean, never mean, but I think same as you. If people don't know me, they may think that I'm mean just because I'm more quiet at first. Mm-hmm. But I'm just honestly a reserved individual off of the first meeting just because I'm the type of person, like, I'm reading the room, I'm reading you, I'm trying to gauge you, get a feel for you more before I start to open up. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, some people just won't understand you. And I've noticed that about myself. You know, I definitely think there's some negative labels like that that others may throw on you just based off of you just simply being quiet. And we talk about that all the time.
It's yes.
Like, why can't a girl just be quiet and you not just assume all these negative things? Mm-hmm. It's like, I actually love when people are kind of quiet. Not everyone needs to just be talking the whole time. Yeah. Like, please.
Yeah. I think some people like to waste words and some people just like to hear themselves talk.
No, literally.
Granted, you know, there's people that are just naturally outgoing, naturally funny, naturally friendly, whatever. But then I think sometimes there are people that just do too much or have ulterior motives or they just are trying too hard too soon. And that, to me, can sometimes raise red flags.
Right, right. And honestly, you know, I think especially in the workplace, people always try to make small talk or they try to find ways to have conversation with you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the stories you hear at work where you're just kind of like, why are you telling me this? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's some of those things where I remind myself before I tell this story, is someone going to actually be interested in this story, especially if it's a very personal story and you're talking about maybe like your brother, your cousin or your uncle, like no offense, before you tell someone a story, ask them why would they care? And I'm being completely honest because there's sometimes where I'm looking at someone as though like, why are you telling me this right now?
Yeah.
It's not funny. It's not entertaining. Why do I care?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But like you said, I think some people just truly take up space talking and just saying words and it's like, and for what?
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes people don't, they don't know their target audience or they don't read the room. Yeah. Because in reality, it's like, a lot of the things I talk about with the people closest to me or my friends are not things my coworkers are going to be interested or even right. understand. And it's like, what? Why am I going to share this?
Yeah, I don't know. That is definitely a pet peeve of mine where people just tell me these random stories where I'm like. So speaking of just those negative labels, what's your first memory of someone projecting that onto you at school, work, or socially?
Do you know the first time you were ever called bougie?
Definitely school.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Like how old?
Like elementary.
Hmm.
I'm looking back, I'm like, gosh, was I to go to such a toxic school? What's going on? No, definitely, yeah. Like the labeling definitely started for me in elementary school. Maybe it was the area I was going to school in the suburbs, but definitely all of those like labels. Of course, you know, I had people that liked me, but I definitely got certain labels on me.
Interesting. I think maybe the first time I would have heard it was actually probably from family.
Mm.
not at school. Fair. Because, like, my schools were predominantly white, so they weren't calling me bougie. It was, yeah, getting around other people of color. Mm. Yeah, most likely family, probably for the first time. But, yeah, I think maybe really in college when I started to be around a little bit more diversity is probably when it started to, yeah, when people started to say that a little bit more. Like some of my black teammates would probably say that, yeah, to me. Yeah, and I feel like it definitely got to me then.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like I don't see anything wrong with what I'm doing. You know, I'm not actually being a snob or stuck up. I just have different preferences than you.
Yeah. No, definitely. And I feel like the older you get, you start to realize, because to be completely honest, growing up, I honestly thought that my upbringing was similar to other people, but it wasn't until I got older and you realize, like, wow, your upbringing is completely different than someone else's. And you then start to realize why people say these certain labels about you, because they're like, what? You did, you know? And you're like, oh, I thought that was normal, right? Or vice versa.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, it wasn't a new thing like college for me to maybe understand that I had more fortunate opportunities than others. It just more was like petty stuff, just like if I didn't want to eat somewhere or stuff like that, you know? Like I definitely was aware of, I guess, yeah, differences in social class or how opportunities I had versus other people, but yeah, like stupid little petty things like how I talked or how I dressed. Yeah.
Do you think people expect black women to be on all the time, warm, entertaining, or charismatic?
I don't know if that's the expectation, but I think if we're not, then we automatically get those labels. You know what I mean? I don't know if people come up to us expecting us to be warm and friendly, but I think if you're not overly outgoing or enthusiastic, then I think there's an automatic assumption that you're mean or you're not friendly or you're intimidating. I don't know if there's an issue with us not being friendly or if there's just an issue with us keeping to ourselves and minding our business that bothers people, if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah. I know I don't feel as that way, but I know I have friends that when they hang around their non-black friends, I feel as though they have to perform for those other friend groups. And when they're not their bubbly, open, fun, go-getting personality, then the friends are like, come on, what's wrong? Like, let's go. Like, that's why are you being like this? Like, where's the happy, fun, turn up person? And it's interesting. I have a, you know, the friend I'm talking about. People like that, I literally watch how their friends treat them to where it's like she always has to perform. And I'm like, you would not have that experience unless you maybe possibly around non-black friends, because I don't know, sometimes I feel like they have the black friend to be that turn up friend, the fun friend, the one that's going to make you laugh as though you're this entertainment for them.
Yeah.
And I've heard that before where as the black friend in the group, you are the entertainment. And it's naturally in us, right? We are very entertaining people naturally. I mean, look at us on social media alone, like we run media. So yeah, it's very interesting.
I hate that because I think that translates into life, period, where I notice it a lot in sports.
It's kind of scary.
Where, I mean, maybe this happens to athletes in general, but like you just said, we dominate in sports. Also where I think a lot of black athletes are dehumanized and they are just looked at as entertainment. And I think you see it, especially like with sports betting or just like rabid fans, overly obsessed fans, where it's like if an athlete doesn't perform or they don't cover the spread, you know, they're getting attacked as if they are an object for entertainment, and people do not treat them like human beings. And I hate that. And I also, something that is very triggering for me to watch online is how people treat Angel Reese.
Oh my gosh. I really, really,
really like struggle to watch that sometimes because people do not treat her like a human being. And she's somebody who has a, you know, bubbly personality, but is outgoing, outspoken, confident in herself and who she is. And, you know, everybody in sports talk trashes.
Right.
And when a non-Black person does it, it's, oh, you know, it's part of the game. But when she did it, you know, it's unsportsmanlike, it's ghetto, it's ratchet. Mm-hmm. And I hate that.
Yeah.
So much. And yeah, again, people say things or attack her online, forgetting, I guess they don't care that she's human and not just, you know, an object for entertainment.
Right.
And yeah, so I think you see it in, you know, different areas of life, from entertainment to athletics to, yeah, these diverse friend groups where, you know, the token Black friend is expected to be the entertainment, or at work when you're the token Black person or the diversity hire, then, you know, it's like, oh, we do have diversity, or, you know, I do have a Black friend, know, and I hate that. That's really unfortunate.
Yeah. No, it is. No, it is. And you're so right about Angela. Like, it breaks my heart every time. I'm like, it's always something. Like, the way they're on that girl. And I love that time when her teammate was defending her on the live press conference, because it's like, yes, yeah, like, y'all completely always try to dehumanize this young girl. Like, she is so young. And it, yeah, it is heartbreaking, because I know a lot of us as Black girls, we see a piece of her in us, right? It's just, we're under such a microscope and under so much scrutiny, whether you do good or bad. It's like, it's still never good enough. You know what I mean? And that's all it shows. It's like, you're still not good enough.
And it also reminds me of what we were talking about a couple episodes ago about, she's the prime example of one, two things. I think this was two different episodes, but one, when people are uncomfortable with a Black woman who's not struggling, and two, with a Black woman that is unapologetically herself, attractive, you know, and is successful.
Yeah.
And, you know, she does both of those things, and it's triggering for people. And yeah, it's sad the way she's attacked, when in reality, it's like, she is a successful Black. She is on the cover of freaking Reese's Puff cereal.
Come on.
She retired her mom.
Yes.
You know, bought a house. All of that, and
she's got her own shoe with Reebok. I just saw literally, that recently. Yeah, amazing.
You know, and instead of that being celebrated, it, you know, people find it intimidating and want to tear her down. And the thing that I love about what she does is she turns that animosity into a check.
Always.
And so people were making fun of her, saying, you know, because she's broken records for rebounding as a rookie, and continues to do so. And they say, oh, it's because she just keeps getting her own misses. And so a lot of it is offensive rebounds. And they started calling them me bounds. And she went ahead and trademarked that and made it into merch. And I was like, period. So I think it makes me sad to see the way that she's attacked. But I also love that she turns that into a check. And yeah, and doesn't, you know, let it get her down for too long. So
right. No, definitely.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
And I think that's the best part about Black women is our, what's the word? Perseverance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. So let's get into boundaries versus arrogance. What's the difference between having standards and being seen as difficult?
That's a thin line these days. I don't know. That's a tough question, because I think everybody's allowed to have their standards. And some people's are going to be higher than others. And I think a lot of times the people that can't meet those standards are going to look at you as difficult. But does that mean your standards are too high? No.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are women that expect to be picked up on the first date. Or if you're not going to pick her up, you're going to call her an Uber. And if you're not going to do that, she's not going to go on the date with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the men that can have a car or can afford to send her an Uber are not going to look at it. A lot of them, maybe not all, are not going to look at it as a problem, whereas the men that can't afford that are going to look at her as difficult.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think that's hard to say. And also vice versa for men too. You know, people, the whole going on a walk date or the park dates or the coffee dates as a first date, that whole concept is controversial. But in the man's defense, obviously when they take women on a date, the expectation is that they pay. Mm-hmm. And you might want to get to know her a little bit more before you spend $200, $300, who knows, depending on where you're going, on a meal. Mm-hmm. And I can see that. Would that work for some of us? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I don't knock the man that has that perspective either. You know, it's just differences of opinion. It reminds me, that clip, I don't know why I was watching it earlier today, actually. But that clip that people had a lot of issues with when you were talking about the guy that you were dating that didn't like fine dining.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And the comments on that clip, and maybe we'll insert it here so people can see.
There was a guy I really liked that I was dating, but he didn't enjoy like nice restaurants, fine dining or anything. And for me, that is something I enjoy doing, whether I'm with a man, a family member, or just by myself or a girl's night. Mm-hmm. He was just so big on like, you just like these restaurants that are just like so like aesthetic and vibey. Like, I just want to go somewhere that has good food. I'm like, I love good food too, but also I like a vibe, like an overall experience, mm-hmm. a dining experience. Mm-hmm. So honestly, once he kind of brought that up when we were at a very like popular restaurant here that kind of provides that overall dining vibe experience, mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, we ain't gonna work.
Yeah.
Because this is just who I am and it's not in you and that's totally fine.
Yeah. But the comments on that clip were interesting because so many people were saying that it was superficial of you and you stopped talking to a man over that. But then I appreciated a lot of people in the comments that were like, y'all are not passing the vibe check. Like, this is a compatibility issue. It's not anything to do with superficial. Like,
yeah.
He wasn't wrong. You weren't wrong. He didn't like fine dining. You did. Okay. And you both gracefully went your separate ways, you know?
Yeah.
And so he doesn't need to look down on you for being difficult and you don't have to look down on him for not wanting fine dining. It's just a difference of opinion.
Right.
So.
And preference. It's like, hey.
Yeah.
And of course, like, I could tell in the comments, people assume that, like, that was the nail in the coffin. It's like, no, there was a combination of things.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, that's just not going to work, you know? So it is what it is. I'm not saying take me out to a fine dining restaurant on the first date, but hey, this is something that I enjoy doing.
Yeah.
Like, I literally am a foodie. So mm-hmm. that's something I enjoy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was like, the men were so upset.
They were going in. In. No, but there was women in the comments too. Like, you stopped talking to him over that. You just like,
girl. Okay. Whatever.
Simmer down.
Yeah. Like, no. I don't know. I think that's, like you said, I think it's a tough question, right? Because regardless of whatever standard you have, it's still going to be seen as you're difficult to somebody.
Right. Right.
Regardless.
Exactly.
So it is a tough question to answer. I think, like we always say all the time, it's just knowing your target audience, right? Mm-hmm. If you know that what you require isn't that much, then hey, you just know who your audience is and what you expect. But, mm-hmm. you know, like we say, like, I don't believe in lowering your standards for somebody. Mm-hmm. Because I think we've all been there, right? Where maybe we may bend in certain areas for a man and mm-hmm. it doesn't get you anywhere. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's anything wrong with maybe going back to the drawing board and maybe adjusting some of this ideal man that you want or the standards that the man requires. Mm-hmm. But I just also don't believe in selling yourself short because, you know, there are plenty of women out here that have a fairy tale ending and live mm-hmm. a happy life. So why not?
Yeah.
You know?
And I do think there's some truth to the idea that when a woman genuinely likes a man, I feel like, not that a lot of that stuff doesn't matter, but you know what I mean? It starts to matter less.
Of course.
You know, like, everybody wants to be taken out on fine dining and whatever,
yeah.
and flowers on the first date. But I feel like when you find someone that you really genuinely like, that stuff starts to matter less.
I agree.
And we did see that in the comments a few months ago now with our, like, socioeconomic episodes where it was interesting because I feel like a lot of the younger generation was just going back and forth about stats and whatever. But it was funny. I feel like the common theme from a lot of the comments from people that were older were like, just find someone you like. Da, 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 da. And like, I get that and I agree, which is why I just said what I said. But at the same time, dating is not what it was years ago.
Right.
Generations ago. You do have to think about socioeconomic status and, yeah, a lot of these compatibility issues. You know, before the internet and things like that, people were meeting someone out, dating who they liked, getting married and whatever, living mm-hmm. happily ever after. But I think people understand, like, you also have things to lose.
Yeah.
In this economy, you know, and marrying the wrong person, marrying the wrong person, wasting years of your life with the wrong person can cost you. So.
No, I totally agree with what you're saying, because when you actually genuinely like a man, you are not going to take from him. Because a man that you truly care about, he should be, I feel like he would do things for you regardless, right? But you're not going to always be like,
yeah,
give it here. Because in my opinion, if I genuinely, and I was telling someone this recently, if I genuinely like this man and I'm building a future with this man, why would I take from the pot that this man is trying to build our future with? Mm-hmm. It's like, why prolong this man from creating my life for us if I'm pulling from the pot now? It's like, no, like, he does enough for what he can, but I don't believe in overly taking from a man as he's building a future for you and him. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of my take on that. So that's kind of what I agree with what you're saying, just to piggyback off of that. And I think now society just feels as though women just take, but I also, you have to ask the question is, does she really like you? Because I think as women, if we genuinely like a man, we're not going to take like that. But yeah. I've dated men where I look back, I'm like, I actually didn't really like him, because the way I would take or ask, mm-hmm. I'm like, I actually didn't like that man like I thought. Mm-hmm. Because I, no offense, I didn't care enough to worry about how much money you had. I just know I wanted that date and I wanted this thing that you were giving me. Mm-hmm. So yeah, growth on my end for sure.
No, I agree with that too. Cause I just feel like, and I feel like I've even heard men say this. It's like, if she hasn't, you know, done something nice for you, she hasn't bought you anything, she doesn't really like you. And I think a lot of women would agree too. Cause I feel like women are honestly the biggest tricks when they actually like a man.
No, literally. Like, we be like, what big mama gonna do it? What you want?
Like the way... Well, I mean, the way women, I feel like, go out and spend money on themselves their friends, it's like, I don't know, if a woman's not spending any money on you, she does not like you.
No, because for the right man, we will, and we will without you even asking, right? It's just, mm-hmm. we're just going to do that mm-hmm. because we know what you do for us. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's dating is, it's tough right now because there are men that make you feel as though, you know, they kind of force it on you, and they force, it's like, well, I'm paying your bills, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, you should do that if you want to regardless. Don't do it and expect to hold that over my head. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't know. I just don't like the force of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It gives me the ick.
Yeah. But I do think something that's, I think both men and women are guilty of in these times now is literally tradition versus today. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times men want a traditional woman that cooks, cleans, whatever, but they're not paying bills how men were traditionally paying bills.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I feel like women are also guilty of it, where they're wanting a man that's going to provide whatever, but they're also maybe not willing to submit the way their mothers or grandmothers did. Mm-hmm. Or child, I don't know. I don't really care to cook. So, you know, and yeah, I feel like I've dealt with that in past dating experiences too, where I feel like a guy has wanted traditional aspects, but also non-traditional aspects. And it wasn't realistic from the perspective, right, of he was like very driven and ambitious and, you know, wanted me to be the same way, which is not a problem, but I was going to do that anyway.
Hello.
But at the same time, I feel like without saying, he also wanted somebody who would just sit there and be quiet. And it's like, yeah. By the end of the situation, I basically said this to him. I was like, you realize the type of person you want that is also ambitious and like at your level when it comes to that and being driven is going to also have a certain level of like being outspoken and spoken up, speaking up for herself and disagreeing with you. So it's like, do you want somebody who you can just pay their bills and they'll shut up? Or do you want someone who's like driven and, you know, ambitious like you are? Because to me, I don't think those personality traits come in one person per se.
Right.
Obviously, being in a relationship, you have to learn how to pick your battles. That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But I don't think that aligns. But I feel like he was guilty of that. But I feel like women are guilty of that also. If you want somebody that's going to sit there and pay your bills, child, you're not going to be able to, you know, I don't want to say tell him what to do. But it's like if your bills are paid and you don't have to worry about a thing, but he's gone a lot or out all hours of the night, it's like.
It's a give or take.
Exactly.
It's truly a give or take. And you have to make that decision as a woman. Like, what do you genuinely want? Because it's true. I was literally this morning watching a TikTok of this girl and the way the man was, it was like alive. And they're like a pretty famous like TikTok couple. And the way he was talking to her, and he literally was saying in the clip how he pays all her bills and all that. And she was just sitting there like, because it's like, yeah, like, what can you say? You know, like, you can tell he's holding her like by the neck, like, say something else. You know what I mean? And she's this stay-at-home mom and he's paying all the bills. And I'm like, and people in the comments, like, she looks so unhappy. And it's like, right, because you chose the man that pays all the bills. He has you in this house and you're this kept woman. But I'm pretty sure you have to ask for a lot of things that women that have their own may not have to. And honestly, I'm at the point now where it's like, I want to be taken care of, but I also need to make my own decisions and do things that I want to do. You know what I mean?
And not have to ask for permission or be trapped. Like, you have no other choice.
Correct. Like, of course, having your respect and your boundaries in your relationship, but some things I'm not going to ask. I'm just like, hey, by the way, I'm going to do this or I'm going to buy that, you know? So, yeah, it's a give or take.
Yeah.
Especially in today's time.
Yeah.
Ciao.
Yeah. And I feel like, I don't know, I think when you're younger, maybe teens, early 20s, and you get on social media and everything's glamorized about, you know, being a housewife and being taken care of. But I feel like the more you get older, you start to value partnership more than anything, you know?
Absolutely. Heavy on partnership.
Yeah.
It's like, were the days that I can't, he will.
Yeah.
And that's important. Because sometimes I think the men that, you know, are paying all the bills and taking care of the household 100%, regardless if you have the energy or bandwidth to do the household chores, he's going to be like, well, I paid the bill. So, I mean, I ain't doing it.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. It's like, if the days I can't, please do it. And vice versa, right? That's just, I don't know. That's just kind of where I'm at with that.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, let's get back on track. Wait, it's always so fun. Yeah, we kind of
swerved off.
But it's always so fun talking about like dating and stuff, especially now.
I mean, yeah, that wasn't too off track because it's about standards, right?
Exactly. But I always feel like we find a way back to that topic. It's just so funny. Has your relationship with saying no evolved over time?
Definitely. I would say it probably evolved from not saying no to saying no and over-explaining myself. And now I feel like I'm learning, as you always say, saying no with a period at the end. I feel like I'm trying to get there.
Yeah, no, definitely. I definitely think my no has evolved.
Yeah.
I used to be like, oh, I don't know, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
Because honestly, sometimes I don't like when people beat around the bush about things. It's like they've already made their mind up. So it's like, don't really leave me hanging. Like, is it a yes or a no?
Yeah.
And I just had to tell someone that this week. I said, honestly, I don't have time to wait. Yes or no? Sorry. Sorry. I just don't like when people beat around the bush because you already know your answer. So just say it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're not hurting my feelings. Mm-hmm. You're just kind of prolonging. So I'm definitely, I mean, it takes time though, right? And it's hard. But when you get there, you feel better. You're like, okay.
I think I've started to be on, like, a lot of the yes or no for me is I don't know how I'm going to feel that day. So if you... On the flip side of what you just said, if I'm that other person and I genuinely don't know, then I'm just going to say, okay, if you need an answer today, then it's no. But if I can let you know, it's going to be a game time decision because sometimes It is. Like, I think especially lately with how busy we are, things need to be a game time decision for me, because it's greatly going to depend on how I feel that day.
I feel you, friend.
You know, a lot of times it's a, I let you know, but yeah, in fairness to people, sometimes it just needs to be a no, because I don't know how I'm going to feel
then. Yeah. No, I agree with that. Lately, I've definitely have been more in my nesting era, because I'm like, it's just actually too much going on and I'm feeling it in my body. So I'm definitely spending more time inside.
Yeah. And I think.
And working on things, honestly. It's not like I'm just sitting here watching Netflix.
No, exactly. And I feel like now, and I was just saying this before we started, is like, there's kind of less room for spontaneity and more like, I actually have to block out fun time on my calendar. Unfortunately, like, you know.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but I think that's a part of just grinding it out and not trying to be miserable, and still trying to have some level of balance. But yeah, unfortunately, sometimes it just like needs to be scheduled so that I know I have the time to get certain things done so that I can enjoy myself. Because yeah, like today, it's like, if I want to go to this festival today that I'm supposed to go to later, part of me, I feel like I'm not going to fully enjoy myself because I'm thinking about all the other things that I should be doing. So I feel like that's, for me, why it's like, if I can get stuff done, then I can fully enjoy myself and like live in the moment.
Yeah.
Prior, but.
Yeah, I definitely think I'm in a season now, like saying, where it's just, there's just truly not enough time. And I just wake up, I'm like, I'm just kind of tired.
Yeah.
But I'm pushing through, right? But I'm definitely noticing my body like, having more times where I wake up feeling a bit queasy or my body's breaking out or something's going on where I'm like, okay,
yep,
let's just chill out for a second. My body's telling me something. You're doing too much.
Yeah.
And you know, we have those times, right? And it just made me think of one of my coworkers this week. She's literally 25 years old and she woke up with her face like half paralyzed.
That's stress.
Yes.
I've literally seen that happen stress. Before.
And it breaks my heart because I was telling her, I was like, we really don't, we hear about the word stress, but you don't know how it's going to show up in your body. You know what I mean? And so like just looking at her reminding me of, we have got to give ourselves time, right? And be, find some type of wellness health routine for your body, because it's just, we're putting a lot more on ourselves and we're living in a different time than when our parents and our grandparents lived in. So it's like, there's so much more pressure on us as, you know, Gen Z millennials to succeed and do things. It's like the odds are so against us compared to how they used to be.
Yeah.
And just everything alone that's going on in just the world. Right. So yeah, we just really have to take care of ourselves more than ever, because I'm just seeing, I mean, a lot of my friends and just me, I'm like, it's a lot going on. Like, everyone is just, like, tense.
Yeah. You either start to say no, or like you just said, your body and your health forces you to learn how to say no. So, and I feel like I've definitely felt that too. That's why today I was like, I'm just not gonna go. Like, I'm saying no to going because I'm feeling overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hard to figure out how to slow down.
It really is. It really is. Especially when you have goals and visions that you want to achieve. But yeah, definitely we have to listen to our bodies more. Ah, this is a nice segue. When did you start choosing quality over, oh, never mind, hold on. Scratch that part out. Child, I thought this was going to talk about when did you start choosing quality time for yourself or something. Sorry. Okay. Just make sure you can X that out. I didn't read the full question. I just saw the first couple of words. I was like,
she said quality. I was like,
Yeah. I was like, quality time. Okay. When did you start choosing quality over quantity in your relationships and friendships?
I've always been like that. Yeah, that was never a problem for me.
That's good.
Yeah, we talked about this a few episodes ago. But yeah, I never was the type of person that had a lot of friends. And I never I always love to live vicariously through people that are like juggling like 5 men at once. I'm like, yes. I've never, my phone has never been that active.
It's a lot.
To be, you know, talking to multiple people at once. I've mm-hmm. never found multiple people interesting enough or even like them enough to juggle that many at one time. So that's never been a thing for me.
Yeah. I definitely, you know, I talked about it before. I used to have a lot more friends or people that I would talk to, associates of that nature, especially when I was going out more. But then you start to realize when you go through things, or maybe you just don't feel like going out that night, then it's an issue. And I'm like, why am I explaining myself? I just don't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to weigh out your relationships and friendships, and you start to realize if you are a good friend, okay, the way I'm pouring into you, I kind of need that in return. And I started to realize I wasn't getting that from every relationship and friendship I had in my life. And mm-hmm. so that's when I started to shrink because I felt as though I'm exerting so much energy and time and I'm not even getting a quarter of it back. And I'm not saying I'm needing it, but I think it's important to have.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it just took time, right? And
yeah.
you start to realize the way people show up for you. Once you start realizing that people don't show up for you the way you show up for them, you will definitely start to choose quality over quantity with your friends.
Yeah. And like you said the other day, like, you realize most people are just not, I don't want to say not good people, but you know what I mean?
Come on. Yeah.
I think the more negative experiences you have, the more you just start to value the people that provide quality experiences and focus yeah. on that, because it's exhausting and life is too short.
How do you handle people who try to make you feel guilty for creating distance?
That's interesting, because I feel like, I don't know, there's one thing, right? Like, your family is your family. So if you have to love them from a distance, that's one thing. But to me, I don't feel like I really have friends that I feel like I need to keep at a distance. We're just not friends, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if I feel like I need to keep you at a different distance, why are we friends? I don't know. To me, if I feel like I need to keep somebody at a distance, there's a reason for that. And what is that reason? Because usually for me, when I start to distance myself from people, it's usually a reason why I just end up not being friends with them anymore to begin with. I don't know. Unless I'm looking at this question differently.
No, I think that's a fair point. But I think for you, like you say, you don't have many friends. And so I feel like the friends that you do have, obviously you don't really need distance because those are your close friends.
Yeah.
I think of it as I've had friends in my lifetime where maybe they got to be too dependent on me or too clingy with me.
Okay.
And so from there, I had to start creating some distance because I felt as though they're kind of getting too attached.
Okay.
You know, we've talked about that before, right?
Yes.
That's how I kind of interpret that. Because, yeah, some people want to hang out and see you and talk to you all the time. It's like, I don't have time like I used to.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I could see that. Some friends that are more dependent on you.
Yes. And I think the one time that I like experienced that in a very extreme way, it was that, but then there was other reasons why like that friendship just ended up ending anyways, because it wasn't just a emotionally dependent or wanting to hang out all the time, like too dependent. It was also like the line of I am me and you are you was blurred to the point of like she would copy everything I do. And even still, that to me, that's still maybe a petty reason to end a friendship. It was that, but it was also, there was a lot of hypocrisy with that that I didn't like. So for example, let's say I was dating someone, and obviously in hindsight, I probably had no business dating them, whatever. They weren't great. She would be like brutally honest to the point of like almost judgmental about that type of situation, about like stuff like that, about like, let's say someone I was dating, but then your own dating life is in shambles.
Yeah.
And you're in a glass house throwing stones.
Right.
It was stuff like that. Or let's say we were out with mutual friends and everyone's like, oh, Blake, what's up? What's going on with you? Or how so-and-so that whatever I might be dating. And I like give the update and she's happy to chime in on my stuff and give her opinion. But then when it's like, oh, so what's going on with you? Then she'd be like, oh, nothing. Meanwhile, I know behind closed doors that your dating life is in shambles.
Yeah.
So you're happy to come on what's going on with me. But then when people ask what's going on with you, you don't want to share. It was stuff like that. So it was like a combination of all of that for a while. Like the friendship ended up ending anyways. So, yeah. But I could see, you know, if it's still a good friend and you love them, it's just you need healthy distance. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when it kind of turns into like a form of like obsession. Mm-hmm. And that's when it kind of starts to go left, when it gets a little negative in that way.
No, yeah. My mom said in high – well, my mom said after the fact. She was like, yeah, she always gave me single white female vibes. I'm like, oh, why didn't she tell me?
What?
I'm like, oh, you told me this now after the friendship ended. Yeah. I mean, in hindsight, by the end of the friendship, I started to see it. Because I didn't realize – how much she was copying me or like intertwining her identity into mine. But towards the end of the friendship, I saw her starting to do it to other like people that she was becoming friends with. And then so having like that outside look in, I was like, that's very weird behavior.
Yeah.
You know, like she basically found out that like a guy that she used to talk to, whatever, like, ended up hooking up with this girl. And she, like, became friends with the girl and, like, went on a trip with her one-on-one. And, yeah, and so she even said to me kind of like a, you know, she said that he's nice to her and he's never been nice to me. And I'm like, so why are you comparing yourself to her?
Yeah.
You know, so it turned into like a, what does she have that I don't have?
Yeah.
And then to start hanging out with her more and more after that, to me, that's where.
That's crazy.
That's a red flag. That's very strange behavior. It sounds like a Lifetime movie.
No, it's actually like, that's kind of scary. Yes. Like, no offense, I think she needs a psych eval. Okay. Like a, like just a psych eval.
Right. So that's why that friendship ended. It was an accumulation of all of that different type of stuff.
Yeah. No, that's a lot. That's a lot. I feel like that needs a label. Like, that's definitely some type of illness.
What do people call it? I see people call it online. Like destiny swapping. I feel deep. Like sometimes people refer to it as, yeah, like study you to the point of, yeah, creepy.
That's deep.
Mm-hmm.
Woo. Yeah, that's actually kind of scary. So to close out this episode, what's something that you're learning to embrace about your personality?
I think over time, I've just learned to embrace that I am more quiet. I am more reserved. I can be more shy, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. I forget what I saw. I was like going through my reposts a few weeks ago on TikTok the other day. Because it always just gives me a good laugh. But it was something along the lines of this guy was joking. And he was like, why is it that people that are like more reserved or introverted are always told to be more outgoing, but extroverted people are never told to shut the fuck up?
Because deep down inside, we're like, please shut up.
Yeah, like it's like, why are introverted people always pressured to be more outgoing? But, you know, extroverted people are not, you know, told to kind of like read the room and let people be who they are.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So there's clearly a reason why I reposted that. I clearly related. But yeah. And it's just like, it's okay. And that's who I am. It's like the more you get to know me and the more I feel comfortable around you, then you see a sillier, more playful side of me. But I'm okay with the fact that that's not going to be everyone's first impression of me, because that's not what I show people at first, because I don't feel comfortable.
Yeah.
You know? And learning that that's okay. I think growing up, I definitely felt like there was something wrong with being shy or something wrong with not having a lot of friends. And yeah, now I'm like fully embracing that.
Yeah, I definitely think I've fully embraced that there are many different versions of me inside of my own body.
Mm-hmm.
And I have recently come to terms that that's okay. You know, I show up differently and I'm with my family versus my friends versus when I'm at work, when I'm in my relationship. Like, those are all very different versions of Ashlyn, but that's still who I am. And I've really had to be okay with that. Because maybe someone is not understanding why I'm acting like this in this way, but it's like, well, that's how I act in this type of relationship than I am versus when I'm with my friend or my mom or dad, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and it's okay. Like, we're not a one-sided coin all the time. Some of us are just completely different depending on who we're around. And that's literally okay. Like, I don't know. Sometimes I'm a wild card. So
mm-hmm.
I'm coming to more terms of that.
Yeah. And like I think
multifaceted girl.
No, exactly. I was just thinking that the whole time you were talking, just period, multifaceted queen.
Hello.
But yeah, I also think too, if you're somebody that like feeds off of other people's energy, then I think that's natural, you know, like from the sense where me, I'm naturally more reserved, quiet to myself. One, being an only child. Two, being a Cancer. Mm-hmm. But I have a shit ton of Gemini friends that are like, you know, loud, outgoing, literal crazy people. And so I feel like they force me out of my shell a little bit more, you know. And does that mean that I'm acting different or whatever when I'm around them? No, it's just, yeah, I think that's natural.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, I think it is. Because if someone explains me to other people, they'll be like, Ashlyn's that friend where she's kind of down for whatever. And I really am, as long as it's not illegal. But, you know, when I really am, I'm like, okay, cool. You know, and I feel like there's nothing wrong with that, because I notice even in my own friend group, I have very different friends.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, I think it's good when you have those friends that, if you're a naturally chill person, can bring that other side out of you sometimes, or vice versa. Because sometimes we can, those turn up friends, we can get them to chill down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When they're with you.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's like, it's all about what environment am I in, like, honestly. Yeah. But I cannot be just one version all the time, because it's kind of exhausting no matter what.
Yeah.
So I definitely like my balance sometimes, even though it's kind of like crazy, but.
No, I agree with that too. And who said that? Oh, it might have been. Like, he said to me, like, your friend group is so random. But like, from the perspective, like, I do have a very eclectic group of friends. Like, everybody is very different. I have a friend that lives in New York and another mm-hmm. friend that just moved to New York.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, and so she was basically like, that's, you know, a positive reflection on you that you have multiple different friends in multiple different cities that have been able to connect outside of you and get along and become friends themselves. You know, so it's just a reflection that, like, regardless of if everybody's extremely different, they can all get along and mesh well because everybody's good people at the end of the day. So,
no, definitely. And I totally agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's fun, right? It keeps the party going because everyone can kind of still coexist and it's totally okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that about friend groups, because you already know what friend on the trip is going to be this way and that way. And I think, yeah, makes it all fun.
Yeah. And I think that's why a lot of times, like, a lot of people's birthday dinners be in shambles, because you really can't mix friend groups.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah. But I actually feel like before the rodeo, for example, like, that is the definition of me mixing friend groups. And, like, it's always still fun.
Right.
You know? So, yeah.
No, definitely. I definitely think it says a lot about you. And that's important, right?
Mm.
Because that's the hardest thing is when you're kind of, like, all like the memes say, when you're mixing your high school friends with your college friends, right?
Yeah.
And it does become that on certain, you know, when it's like your special birthday or mm-hmm. whatever it may be you have going on in your life. So definitely says a lot.
Mm-hmm. Period.
Well, I guess that's it, huh?
Did you just blank?
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for tuning into another episode. Please don't forget to comment, like, subscribe. follow us on all platforms. Follow us on the gram and DM us any episode ideas or email us. We got an interesting email earlier today. So
yeah.
Reach out, stay connected, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.